This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
So, baby, welcome into the first ever Wise Wednesdays right here on FanDuel TV. This is going to be so much fun. I am so fired up for this. I know I maybe should have dressed a little bit more for the occasion. I know you guys missed my blazers. I have my cool t-shirts. But you know what? I ran a half marathon on Sunday in Brooklyn. So guess what? I'm showing off. Welcome to Wise Wednesdays. I'm JJ John Jastrzemski, part of the Wise Guy crew, the host of New York, New York, a part of East Coast Bias. And what we're going to do on Wise Wednesdays each and every morning is we are going to try to see the future. We're going to try to wisen you up for making the best bets and cashing the most amount of tickets that you can going into your hump day, and we take it from there. So, to the surprise of no one, the Denver Nuggets took care of the Los Angeles Lakers in five games. I mean, is anybody surprised? Jamal Murray doing his thing at the end of the game. The Lakers doing nothing but making excuses. Please get the Lakers out of my life. The idea that we were able to go and get Denver at minus 130 to go and win the series in less than seven games was a gift from the heavens. But with all of that being said, and with 2024 at this particular point in time, being the year of the chalk, being the year of the repeat, the UConn Huskies, the Kansas City Chiefs, I think it is fair to wonder if Denver is going to follow suit, or are we going to be looking at an upstart team that has a legitimate chance to go and win an NBA title? And I cannot wait, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, for Minnesota and Denver. And I know we got some round one games to get to. We'll recap what you saw on Tuesday night. But come on now. I'm salivating over the idea of the Ant-Man and Towns and this scrappy, tough Minnesota team that looked chiseled, that looked ready for the moment and embarrassing the hapless Phoenix Suns. I think Minnesota's live in this series, ladies and gentlemen. I really do. Now, you see the series price. I think it's exactly where it should be. Denver's basically a 2-1 favorite. And I think this is a lengthy series. I think Minnesota will have their moments. I think Anthony Edwards will have his moments. I'm not picking against Denver. I think Denver is winning the title. I think the year of the chalk will be the year of the chalk until I see otherwise. But I want everybody to take a look at the futures market for a moment. And I know you missed the best of this number. You did. You could have gotten 17. You could have gotten 20. There were a lot of 17s and 20s sitting in the market maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks ago. You're not going to get that now on FanDuel. What you are going to get on FanDuel, the Minnesota Timberwolves at 9-1 to go and win the NBA title. And what I'm telling you is this. The winner of Denver and Minnesota is winning the NBA title. And I know people are going to say, oh, JJ, what about the Celtics? What about Boston? No. If Minnesota shows me that they're ready to beat the champs with Jokic, with Murray, in altitude, everything they got to deal with, they're beating that charming soft Celtic team. And I understand Porzingis might come back. Who knows what his deal may be? I don't trust the Celtics. The Celtics are an analytics darling. The Celtics win 60-plus games. Do the Celtics have stones? Minnesota is going to show me they got major stones if they beat Denver. So I have my title bet on the Denver Nuggets. I'm going to be looking to get a little insurance, as they say. Minnesota Timberwolves, 9-1 to win the NBA title. You know what? Let's fire that right now. Now, as far as the wagers that we will have on Wednesday. You have a couple. You have Miami and Boston, which has been such a dud of a series compared to what it was a year ago. And obviously, the loss of Jimmy Butler has loomed large. And Boston whooped the Miami Heat in back-to-back games down in South Florida. If we know anything about the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat, though, don't you think this line at 14 is a little out of whack? Does Miami strike you as the sort of team that's 1-2-3 Cancun? And everything's going against them. And I know Boston has whooped them every which way. I am grabbing the points tonight. I don't know what the deal is going to be with Porzingis. I'm grabbing it. I'm not thinking twice about it. I think Miami will scratch and claw. Despite how lopsided three of these four games have been, despite the fact that Boston has really owned them every which way, and Boston's going to get a bye, basically, into the Eastern Conference Finals. See, that's the thing. I wonder how Boston is going to be tested throughout this postseason. Can anybody do it in the Eastern Conference? The only team maybe capable of doing it is my beloved New York Knicks, who don't have the horses and shouldn't win that series. But my goodness, please, sign me up right now for a Knicks-Celtics-Eastern Conference Finals. But tonight, for those of you here on FanDuel TV, you got to hold your nose. Sometimes you got to make a bet that smells a little funky, that doesn't necessarily sit well with you. Because at the end of the day, it's about getting the best of the number. And I think we're getting the best of the number here with the Miami Heat getting all those points. Now, as we get ready for Dallas and the Clippers in a game five, the narrative and the storyline in that particular series is that the Clippers look a heck of a lot better when Kawhi Leonard is not on the floor. And it pains me to say this because I love Kawhi Leonard. The Claw, two-way, all-world, exemplary talent. But his injury has been a problem. He's not all the way back. And it seems like the Clipper role players have played better when he's not there, at least in this series. Small sample size, I get it. If you're the Clippers, you're thinking bigger picture, you need Kawhi Leonard at some point. But in this series, they've looked better without him. But the line is telling, isn't it? Everyone's lining up in game five to go and bet on the Los Angeles Clippers. Nothing but Clipper money. Nothing but Clipper tickets. But our friends at FanDuel had no problem installing the Dallas Mavericks as a three-point favorite going into game five. On the road, the series price, Dallas is still close to a 2-1 favorite to win the series, even though they don't have home court advantage in the series. So what does that tell you? To me, that tells you Dallas at their best, this version of the Clippers at their best. I'm taking Dallas at their best because I know I have Luka and I have Kyrie doing their thing. And they almost came back Sunday from a 30-point deficit. I know it's the NBA in 2024, and I know we have some incredible twists and turns and whatnot. That all may be true. I'm taking Dallas, and what I would do, take them to go and win at six because they're going to win game five, and they are not going to let this series get back to the West Coast for a game number seven. So we have a lot coming your way in this Wise Wednesday's debut. So we will set the stage for the Wednesday card in the NBA. I gave you a couple of plays I like right out of the gate. Miami Heat grabbing a whole lot of points. Dallas Mavericks laying the points. Raheem Palmer, who is one of the four wise guys that you saw here on FanDuel TV throughout the NFL football season. He's going to hop on board, and we are going to run through where we can find some value, whether or not I can convince Raheem to go and take Minnesota plus games with me. We'll find out if it was a good investment for me with my Denver ticket to get on board with the Minnesota Timberwolves. I think it is, because I think the winner of that series is going to be holding up that Larry O'Brien. So we have that coming your way. Ben Solak, who is like the Avenger, the whiz kid of all whiz kids when it comes to his analytic breakdowns, the game film, breaking down the draft, and Solak's a numbers guy. So we are going to go through everything that happened last Thursday in Detroit. But what I want to capitalize on is who had a draft class that's worth investing in. And all the Chicago Bears, who, yes, knocked it out of the park in theory. Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, a lot of talent, strong second half. Kind of think they're getting a little overvalued in the futures market. So Ben Solak of Ringer fame will join us, and that's what we're going to do on this show each and every week. And you'll have the opportunity to send your host a play, because I'm always looking for help. I always need the guiding light. Sometimes I'll ride you. Sometimes I'll fade you. And maybe we'll meet in the middle. Maybe we'll have to keep a running count on this. You know, this is what happens when we do the show. This might be a live idea where it's, hey, heads up with JJ. Let's see what your record is when you heads up with this guy. If it was this NCAA tournament, you would have been whooping my rear end. Let's just put it that way. So hopefully that is not going to be the case here on Wise Wednesdays. But when we come back, Raheem Palmer, we have Tuesday NBA games to get to. Knicks, Sixers, Magic, Cavs. Hide the women and children for Magic and Cavs, would you please? All that more. FanDuel TV, Wise Wednesdays. Just getting started. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back to Wise Wednesdays right here on FanDuel TV. John Jastrzemski moving from Studio 71 in New York City to the compound after we witnessed a whole lot of NBA playoff basketball on Tuesday evening, and I am sick to my stomach. The Knicks, my Knicks, 6-point lead, 30 seconds to go, game's over, signed, sealed, delivered, until the Sixers pulled a Knicks from game two. You can't make it up. To break down all the Eastern and Western Conference playoff series, remember Wise Guys, remember East Coast Bias, Raheem Palmer. Buddy, you got me. You got me.
I'm glad I got you, because I was so sad after game two. I had to listen to you right after the game. You and Big Wise, you guys were celebrating, and it's finally time for me to get some payback. Tyrese Maxey, I mean, what can I say? You got a 4-point play, and we all know what 4-point plays mean to the New York Knicks. Well, we got our own one. And then right after that, Tyrese Maxey, I mean, after Hart misses the free throw, he pulls up from half court and hits a three. It's an absolute dagger. And then we get it done in overtime. I can't be happier.
You know, everything had to go a certain way for Philadelphia. You nailed it. Mitchell Robinson, Fallon, Maxey ended up getting a 4-point play. Hart missing a free throw. The Knicks not fouling up three. I mean, it's just crazy sequence of events, Raheem, for a Philadelphia team that looked dead. Embiid's hobbling around for three quarters. Maxey is brilliantly as he played. He missed a couple of free throws that I thought were going to be the difference in the game. But Philly wins this game. They're a tormented orchard franchise, this Embiid Philadelphia 76er group. Are you looking at this game as a one-off, where you say, hey, it's one dramatic win, it's an evenly played series, the Knicks have two chances to go and close it out? They're heavily favored. The odds on FanDuel still have the Knicks as a sizable favorite going into the next two games of this series. Do you think Philly is alive now to go and win this thing, or is this series, in your opinion, being properly priced?
They are absolutely live. I mean, when you look at Game 6, the Sixers are favored in Game 6. And then we all know, even though home teams win Game 7 around 70% of the time, anything can happen in a Game 7. And we've seen that throughout the course of this series, to where it just feels like one team just snatches victory from the jaws of defeat. So this is a very close series. I think these teams are evenly matched. And the way I look at it like this, the Sixers have the higher top-notch talent. I know Jalen Brunson is incredible, but the Sixers have won all of the Joel Embiid minutes. So if they could just find a way to get something from their bench, they're absolutely live in this series, despite being down 3-2 at this point.
But is this series properly priced is my question, Reem, because with Philadelphia having Embiid and with Philadelphia having Maxey, and with this series, you go back to what the opening series price was at the outset. I mean, we were looking at what, even money. At first, the Knicks were plus money, but it was basically coin flip, which point differential has been in the first five games. You're seeing the Knicks significant favorite up 3-2, Raheem. I think it might not be properly priced if you think Philly's live to go win a series.
I think the biggest reason it's priced in that manner is because of the injury to Joel Embiid. Like, I think that's what is taken into account. And then, obviously, if you look at the Knicks for game six in Philadelphia, right now, they're plus 138. So in a plus 138, that's giving them about a 42% chance of winning game six. And then I imagine they're going to be around a 70% chance at winning game seven or so. So I guess there is a little value on the Sixers, but you just have to wonder if they're running out of gas. So I think that's the scary thing.
So we have two series in the Eastern Conference that right now don't have a whole lot of sizzle. Cleveland and Orlando, Indiana and Milwaukee due to the injury to Giannis. Cleveland and Orlando has just been one of those series that, let's be honest, has not been particularly easy on the eyes. So I will ask you this, Raheem. As you know, Milwaukee right now is dealing with all sorts of injury concerns. And you have Orlando who just cannot win away from their home building. Who is more alive to have a legitimate chance to win a series? Is it Orlando going back home down 3-2? Or is it Milwaukee against this young, inexperienced Indiana team?
It's without a doubt the Orlando Magic. Because when you look at the Orlando Magic, they are the best cover team against the spread in NBA this year. And they are also, they have the best home record in the NBA this year as well. This year, if you include the postseason, they're 30-13 at home. So they're absolutely dominating teams at home. And then they get to go back home for game six. And one of the things about the Cavs in this series is that you said it best. This series hasn't been easy on the eyes. And a big reason for that is that both teams have struggled to score, but the Cavs aren't really doing much offensively themselves. This is a team through four games, not including tonight. They had an offensive rating of 97. So this team is struggling to score. Donovan Mitchell doesn't look like the same guy. And you saw that tonight in a game where he just wasn't himself. And the Magic were in that game with a chance to win. So I think the Magic are absolutely live to win this series. You got to check on the status of Jared Allen because he missed game five as well. So if he's not out there, the Magic are super live. And then I like the adjustment that Mosley made in this series. He made the adjustment of taking Jonathan Isaac out of the starting lineup and starting Wendell Carter. And that's made a world of difference. So I think the Magic have a great chance of winning this series.
Dream, let's transition to the Western Conference. You have, to me, the most appealing second-round series. I don't care what the matchups are going to be otherwise. You have the defending champs, the Denver Nuggets. Just beat the Lakers in five. Jamal Murray and his heroics. Nuggets don't have to worry about any history going their way. They take care of business. And in comes this hungry, funky, spirited Minnesota Timberwolves team. And I know Phoenix has their problems, Raheem, and they're not particularly deep. But Minnesota has the look of a team that's growing before our eyes. I think the series, for what it's worth, is properly priced. I think Denver deserves to be a 2-1 favorite. I also think Minnesota is going to win multiple games in this series. I think they're going to push the defending champs. I'm thinking about playing them plus games, and I have take for you. I think the winner of Nuggets, Timberwolves, is going to be holding up the Larry O'Brien trophy. What do you think about that?
Wow. That's a strong statement, but it's one that a lot of people believe. Now, I'm not willing to go that far, but I do agree with you. I think the winner of this series, if they don't beat each other up too much, is probably going to win the West. So this is probably the unofficial Western Conference finals.
Yeah, and listen, Raheem, I understand Minnesota has a lot to prove, not only just in this series, but moving forward, but go and beat the champs. And you beat Jokic with the level he's playing at right now, Murray and what Sasson he is at the end of these games. I think it almost catapults you into a different stratosphere. And I think the odds on FanDuel, and I know some series are still going on, so that's going to kind of be reflective of that. But I think it's rather telling in that sense. Do you give Minnesota a legit shot against the champs, or you don't see it?
I do give them a legit shot, but I do want to hold my horses a little bit because Minnesota is becoming the trendy pick. If you look at the market right now, the Denver Nuggets are -205 to win this series. I think this opened up around -275 or so. So I think you're getting to the point where you have to question if there is value on the defending champions. Now, we know that this Minnesota Timberwolves team, they match up well with the Denver Nuggets, but this is still a Minnesota Timberwolves team that struggles to score in the clutch. And what do the Denver Nuggets do so well? What do they do against the Lakers? They out-execute you. So we've yet to see this year's version of the Minnesota Timberwolves truly be tested. They played a bad Phoenix Suns team. And I think this is a step up in class. So I expect Denver to win game one, and then we're going to see what Minnesota really has.
To me, Raheem, still value. And I know it's not the best of the number. I mean, there were 17s and 20s in the market as of 2 weeks ago, for goodness sakes. Still think you're getting decent value, 9-1 on the Timberwolves to win a title, if you believe they can get through this series. You ain't getting that if they beat the Nuggets, you know?
Yeah, I can agree with that. I definitely can agree with that because, I mean, we're looking at two of the best teams in the league at this point in time. So if you're catching them at 9-1, I can agree with that.
Okay, Dream, we got a couple of games to get to here on Wednesday. And last year, Miami and Boston was just so much fun. It's not this time around. Jimmy Butler is not playing in this series. The Celtics are a better team. They're a more complete team. But now there's this uncertainty about what the team will look like without Kristaps Porzingis. And this is an injury that Celtic fans have been very concerned about all year. Porzingis has been fantastic. He has changed the vibe and the dynamic of the team, but he's also made of glass, and that's been a problem throughout his entire career. Now he gets hurt come playoff time. I think it's way too many points tonight. And I know Miami, everything about them says when they lose big. That's what we've seen in this series. We talked about it going into game three and what a smash spot it was for the Celtics. You know, there are teams, I look at Raheem and I say, they're Cancun bound. They have no interest in playing. I don't think you can get that tonight from Miami. Now, they're probably going to lose the game. The Celtics are better. But you take Porzingis out of the equation and I get a gazillion points, I think Miami's going to give you a spirited effort. Am I certifiably insane?
You're not certifiably insane at all. And, you know, you look at this Miami Heat team. They're going to go out there and come with a good game plan. That's what, I mean, they have Eric Spoelstra. But you look at the fact that this Boston Celtics team, they've always been a team who kind of gets bored. They mess around. They don't take things seriously. And they don't close out series and make things easier for themselves. Now, the Celtics are 21-4 without Kristaps Porzingis this year. So this is still a juggernaut. But I expect this to be a tough game. Miami is not going to lay down. I think if you're going to take the 14, I think you almost got to sprinkle on the money line as well, because if they're going to cover this spread, they have a real chance of winning, because we know this Boston Celtics team, they don't tend to play close games. They tend to blow you out. And then when they get in those close games, things get tight. So I would sprinkle a little something on the money line if you like the 14 as well.
And remember, you get a crazy, crazy number on it like you did in game two when Miami hit a gazillion threes. They ended up winning that game outright against the Boston Celtics. I get the logic. I understand the logic. Now, Raheem, I think there are a lot of people wondering. The Dallas Mavericks just lost game four. The Dallas Mavericks do not have home court advantage in game five. And if we're looking at a game seven, yet on FanDuel, the Mavericks are almost 2-1 favorites to win this series against the Clippers. And we know the deal with the Clippers, they look better without Kawhi Leonard because he's not 100% right. Harden, Westbrook, et cetera, Paul George, they played better without Leonard in this series. But I agree with FanDuel and Vegas on this one, Raheem. I think Dallas at their best is better. I think they're going to respond here in game five. I think they're going to go and win this series. Is that -188 series price justifiable?
So I think the Mavericks are going to win this series, but I do think this is mispriced. I think it's a little bit too high. I think -188, you're paying a premium. And at -188, you're saying that the Mavericks have a 65% chance of winning this series. So you got your break-even rate's around, 66, 67%. I just think that is a little bit high. So I would not lay this price. However, I do think when you look at this series, the games in which the Clippers won, they shot otherworldly from three. And in game one, which they won, they shot 50% from three and made 18 threes. In game four, they shot 60% from three. Like, that's not going to happen every game. And then we know in game one, the Mavericks had that quarter in which they scored 8 points or so. So I think the Mavericks are the better team, but I think these teams are closer than the market is indicating.
So, Raheem, each and every day during the NBA playoffs, if you follow him on social media, and if you don't, you're making a big-time mistake. He's been having a lot of fun posting daily NBA plays. He calls it the 100. What do we have in store? You don't have to spoil the full-fledged pick, Raheem, but for the folks here on FanDuel TV on the first ever Wise Wednesday, what direction are we leaning in for the 100 for this Wednesday card of NBA action?
I'm kind of leaning in the direction of the Mavericks. I haven't picked a side yet, but I'm still digging through, but that's the direction I'm leaning through, just because I just think this Mavericks team, it's their time. And look, I mean, I know the Clippers, they had that big bounce back game in game four, but I still believe in the Mavericks to win the series.
As do I. I will be investing in Dallas tonight. I have a whole lot of series prices that are contingent on the Mavericks going and winning this series. And Raheem, I have the Knicks in six. I'm grabbing those 3.5 right now. I think the Knicks are, you know what? The Embiid injury now playing every other day. I know he was gutty in that overtime today. I know I was sick to my stomach. I didn't get to see chutzpah from the Knicks, Raheem. Actually, I don't even think I need 3.5. I think the Knicks, if they're in the game, they win a game outright. I don't think they lose close.
So I'm not touching this because I took the Knicks to win this series. So I'm like, pretty much, I'm happy as long as they get it done in game six or seven. So I'm just going to watch game six as a fan and see what happens. But I tend to agree with you just because it's just at some point in time, Joel Embiid, he looked dead in that fourth quarter. I don't know how he maintains this.
Raheem Palmer, NBA extraordinaire, ringer extraordinaire. We'll check you out on East Coast Bias, Rostradamus. We look forward to the 100, Raheem. And I will see you for East Coast Bias in 24 hours. How about that?
Yes, it's really exciting. We got a lot of things that we're going to talk about. We're going to break down the NFL draft, who had the best drafts, a lot of different things. NBA, we do it all.
I'm licking my wounds. Not only for the Knicks. How about the Orioles sticking to my Yankees? I told you the Orioles plus 300, Raheem, was quality value. And I hope people were watching East Coast Bias on that last week. When we come back, Ben Solak will do all the draft stuff. He nailed it. Where can we find some value across the board? All that and more. Wise Wednesdays. John Zaschewski. I'm coming right back.
We are stoked. The draft, signed, sealed, delivered. We had a stunner with the Atlanta Falcons. We have odds that are just staring me in the face. And I'm trying to show some restraint because football season is still a few months away. But as I welcome in the super talented Ben Solak, you've covered a whole lot of drafts. Mm-hmm. Is the Penix to Atlanta move one of the most stunning moves you've ever covered in your years around the NFL?
The most, yeah. Like, I think the first draft that I really covered was 2017. I think the only thing that is close to the, like, even remotely close is Cleveland Furl at 4 when the Raiders took him. But even then, that was like, oh, that's too early. But like, all right, edge rusher, they like him, whatever, like, wrong pick, but fine. This is like fundamentally like changing the way that we view the how Falcons are building their team, how teams invest in quarterback, like this is, and to do it in front of JJ and like to set the record for the most quarterbacks top 15, like it's just, it is mind-boggling. It happened what, 5 days ago now? I'm still surprised.
It blew my mind. And so, like, obviously I'm in New York, so I'm trying to finagle for a Giant perspective. Mm-hmm. The idea of them taking, let's say, Neighbors at six and then maybe moving back up to get Penix. I was thinking last week, oh, there's a great possibility of that. And he ends up in Atlanta and they're paying Kirk Cousins a gazillion dollars. Like, I like Michael Penix, Ben. I'm a fan. I loved him in college. I know he's 25. I know he has some injury questions. I'm a believer in his game, but there's no way you can justify this reasonably, right? Like, I know Atlanta is trying to. I know some people are trying to. It just seems like malpractice as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, I think the core of the issue, which is we should invest in QB2, right? We've had an unprecedented number of quarterbacks just take snaps last NFL season. Each of the last two NFL seasons, there's been an uptick in the number of quarterbacks who have had to start games. And so the idea of investing more in your quarterback too, where Jalen Hurts was to Carson Wentz, what Jordan Love was to Aaron Rodgers, what Lamar Jackson was to Joe Flacco, like the core of that idea is sound. This manifestation of it, this expression of it, is just so far beyond where the league is at right now. It's getting way too far over your skis, especially because you just had Kirk Cousins and you just elected to pay him $100 million 6 weeks ago. If you anticipated going the young quarterback route, which with the pick at eight, with your room as it was, is completely a defensible choice, you are handicapping yourself by taking on big veteran quarterback money right now. Because the whole point of a rookie quarterback contract is that it gives you a competitive edge. It allows you to go sign big ticket free agents. And if you get competent quarterback play at rookie numbers, at rookie cap numbers, then you get a huge benefit on the cap, right? You get a massive competitive advantage. The rookie quarterback contract window, it's the hack of the league. It's the best thing you can have. The moment you sign Kirk Cousins, whether you're taking a quarterback at eight or at 180 or anywhere in between, you are electing to not have that advantage. So then just spend the pick at eight on a quarterback is to just roll the dice on hoping that the fourth quarterback selected in this draft ends up being a really good one. And oh, even if he is, we're not going to get the contract benefit. That's half of the gig. That's half of the blessing. So it's, I get why you want to invest in QB2. I understand that. I think more teams need to invest more heavily in that position, but this is way too far. This is missing the forest for the trees.
Okay. A lot of rookie quarterbacks in new homes, obviously. They got drafted in the first round. I would hope that they would be in new homes. I don't know where I was going with that one. But I'll ask you this, Mr. Solak. Out of all the guys who were drafted in round one on Thursday, give me the rookie quarterback who's walking into, in your opinion, the best situation.
Oh, J.J. McCarthy, for sure. Whoever was going to walk into the Minnesota offense was going to be the quarterback walking into the best situation. Now, Caleb's in Chicago is really good. Don't get me wrong. But the big differentiator for me is OC, it's play caller. Shane Waldron is the new OC in Chicago, and he came from Seattle. But I thought he was good. I thought he was a fine play caller. He'd have some bad games, have some good games. Member of the Sean McVay tree. Not a bad play caller at all, not a bad OC, but nothing to write home about, nothing that blows your mind. Kevin O'Connell, who's the head coach and play caller there in Minnesota, is really good at what he does. And he's been calling plays there for multiple seasons there now. It's the third season, 3 seasons as the Vikings head coach. And he's just been extremely impressive in terms of getting explosive plays, intermediate downfield targets. They have the most diverse kind of like under center play action menu of any of the teams in the league. And so they do a great job marrying the run to the pass. They do a good job with pre-snap motion. Like O'Connell's got the juice. And so again, like the Bears, some good receivers, the line is improving, but Minnesota with the pass catchers there and Jordan Addison, Justin Jefferson, and TJ Hawkinson with the tackle duo as well. I don't think people realize how good left tackle Christian Darrisaw and right tackle Brian O'Neill are. That's the best situation once you put Kevin O'Connell at the helm. Once you say, all right, like there's going to be a really talented play caller managing this young quarterback and JJ McCarthy. It's going to be great for his development. Now, you know, it's a little bit easier to call plays for Kirk Cousins, who can change stuff at the line and can get a play call out versus a 20-year-old in McCarthy. So it might be some growing pains early, but I have a lot of confidence that Minnesota is the best landing spot.
So I agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. And I took a peek, Solak, at the odds to win the NFC North, the way too early May odds to win the NFC North. Then no surprise, Detroit's the favorite. Green Bay is right there at plus 185 after winning a playoff game. And, you know, they know how to get themselves to the postseason. I found this surprising, and I wanted to reference it to you. Chicago's at plus 370. We know they've had a killer offseason. We know Adunze, Caleb Williams, Keenan Allen, defense really came on strong second half of the year. All true. But I see Minnesota at plus 750. And I know it's Sam Darnold to start the year, but you mentioned O'Connell.
Brian Flores got an incredible amount out of that defense. And I'm not suggesting that Minnesota is going to win the division, but doesn't that seem a little out of whack at plus 750? That seems a little high for the Vikings, in my opinion.
It does seem high. The problem is it's just such a super competitive division. So it's not like if they get Jordan Love goes down with injury in week four, the path for the Vikings is so clear. No, they still got to go through Detroit and through Chicago. The problem is how competitive the division is. Now, in a hyper-competitive division, I want to take the team at the fourth odds, take the team at the third odds instead of taking the favorite, right? Because I just expect chaos, tiebreakers, everybody's going to be 10-7, everybody's going to be 11-6. AFC North, right? How you anticipate that entire division is kind of cannibalizing themselves. Everybody could be anybody in any given week. So I do think, I agree, it's a little bit long. The Vikings are plus 245 to make the playoffs, plus 750 to win the division. But my main thing is this. If you are looking at Vikings to win the division at plus 750, or if you're looking at them to make the playoffs at plus 245, you got to look at J.J. McCarthy to win Offensive Rookie of the Year at 10-1. Because the worlds in which the Vikings win the division and J.J. McCarthy doesn't win Offensive Rookie of the Year are extremely thin, right? Like it is very unlikely that they are good enough to win that division, but some other rookie wins that award over J.J. McCarthy. And so if I'm looking to get Vikings exposure, I think, sure, like if you like the division plus 750, it's a good bet to take. But if you're going to take that, you should have J.J. McCarthy win Offensive Rookie of the Year at 10-1, because those two things are very heavily correlated, and obviously you're getting better odds on Rookie of the Year.
I like the idea of getting all of these in a little basket, Ben, have a little fun over the course of this year. So you have now inspired me to take a fellow JJ and maybe invest, even though I wasn't necessarily the biggest McCarthy guy at Michigan. Thought that team was kind of a byproduct of the offensive line, the running game, the coach, what have you. But you know what, though? You're going to give me those odds right there. Solak, I'm sold. I'm in.
Yeah, he's not a Michigan man anymore, right? You have to forget the old thing. Now he's throwing to Justin Jefferson, getting coached by Kevin O'Connell. Now he's in a good spot.
Okay, are the Bears overvalued? I love the storyline. I want to see them have a dynamic offense. They haven't had a dynamic offense in forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only time I could think of them being competent on offense, you're going back to the days of Jay Cutler and Matt Forte and Brandon Marshall. What are reasonable expectations, in your opinion, for Caleb Williams, Adunze, and this Bears
team? Yeah, the team that has the first overall pick is always going to be a little bit overvalued, right? They take a quarterback at one, and they just the interest is going to shoot up. Like, I loved Caleb so much. Like, Caleb is such a good prospect. I think Caleb is going to be the quarterback the Bears have long been looking for. You're still going to inherently be a little bit overhyped and overvalued. The main thing that I think gives you belief in the Bears to really take a year one leap is the fact that defensively they were so good last season. They bring Jalen Johnson back, who's a free agent at their outside corner. That Montez Sweat, who they got as a trade deadline acquisition, is now going to be there for a full season. There's reason to believe that their defensive momentum that they generated in November and December, they're playing such good ball on the defensive side of the football, that's going to continue. And so you have really good defense. You're allowed to onboard Caleb a little bit more smoothly. He doesn't have to win every single game by scoring 35 points. That, to me, is the reason for faith. So I think like they're right around like a 10-7 team is what I would make them at. And given the way they performed last year, I think that's a modest perspective if Caleb is all that we build him to be. It's just a reminder that the NFC North is extremely competitive. It is very difficult. They're going to play six games against six very, very, very good teams in that division. And it's always a tough road to hoe for a rookie in divisional environments and road environments. So I think a 10-win team is reasonable for Chicago. I could see them being much better, but I could also see them being a little bit worse just as they get through those rough patches, those rookie bumps.
Would you say the odds on FanDuel accurate in the way too early preseason rankings of those teams? Meaning,
yeah,
Lions, Packers, Bears, Vikings. That's how you'd have it?
Yeah, I think that's right. I will say that I think that every single, like, I think the Lions are too dramatic of a favorite. I think that I loved Detroit's season last year. They ran pretty pure for the entirety of that season. They obviously keep Ben Johnson, keep Aaron Glenn. The nucleus is still there. Extend Amon-Ra St. Brown, extend Penei Sewell. Jared Goff's going to be extended. The nucleus is all there. It's great. It's good and everything. But they have run really well over the last couple of seasons. That defense has been super young. They've been liable for them. Like, now the Lions have a big target on their back. Now they have a first-place schedule. I think Detroit gets a little bit too much love and everybody else a little bit lower.
When we come back with Mr. Ben Solak, we'll find out what draft class he liked the most. And there are a lot of Jet people in my life trying to convince me that they're going to win the division next year. I'm curious to get Solak's take on this. We're coming right back on Wise Wednesdays right here on FanDuel TV.
Wow.
Welcome back to Wise Wednesdays right here on FanDuel TV. We have Ringer NFL media superstar Ben Solak joining us here to give us the recap, postmortem of the draft, and start setting the stage for some of these bets we might be making future season. Okay, Solak, who had the best and your most favorite draft class out of any of the teams?
I really like Pittsburgh's draft. I think that taking three offensive linemen with their first four picks, and particularly three guys who are good movers, athletic players, and pretty nasty, Troy Fontenot out of Washington, Zach Frazier out of West Virginia, and then Mason McCormick out of South Dakota State. That's the facelift that this offensive line needed, and that's going to help them short term, because if Russell Wilson or Justin Fields is your starting quarterback, then man, you got to be able to protect those guys, and it's going to help them long-term. Whether it's one of those two quarterbacks who holds on to the job, or if they're onboarding a rookie next season, having a good line is just, it's such a relief. So I really like the amount of investment that they made in the trenches there. Roman Wilson, third round, Peyton Wilson, third round, good picks. But it was the focus on the line that I really loved.
The Steelers have been a team over the years, so like that's done a terrific job of drafting, especially defensively. They have this culture with Tomlin where they don't lose. They don't have losing years, even though you look at them 12 or 13 weeks into the year and you're like, yeah, this is the year. This team is not any good. Then you look up Christmas time and it's like, holy smokes, the Steelers are going to find their way into the postseason. I keep waiting for the bottom to fall out and the division is loaded. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, the Ravens are really good. The Bengals are getting Joe Burrow back. You have Cleveland and all the talent they have. I almost feel like I'm going to convince myself that this is the year the Steelers bottom out. Please remind me in August, Ben, that we're not allowed to do that. Yeah. It's just automatic overs with Tomlin until you see otherwise.
17 straight years without a losing season. All right. And if you want to bet on year 18, you go for it. I'm going to pass on that. I do think they're going to be plenty functional, right? And people point to the quarterback situation and say, oh, but Justin Fields, Russell Wilson. Yeah, Kenny Pickett couldn't play last year. Like, their quarterback situation is no worse than it was last season. We just had a lot more faith last season that it was going to be better. But, like, Pickett last year was a dramatic liability. They lose Deontay Johnson, and obviously they had some changes on the offensive line. Mason Cole and Chukwuemeka are gone. But all that was planned, right? Like, I mean, that was all intentional. They drafted to fix the offensive line. They brought Dante Jackson in the Deontay Johnson trade. Like, they're about what they want to be. At Patrick Queen in free agency, defensively, they're going to be even stronger than they were last year. And they've already proven they don't need high-tier quarterback play. They can win some ugly games. So, yeah, no. The Steelers are 18 in a row for Tomlin. They're not having a losing record.
So, Ben, final one. Mm-hmm. I got a wedding gift last year. It was a Dolphins to win the AFC East ticket. It was looking so stupendous.
I held several of those myself, JJ, yeah.
And it was like, oh my goodness, what a great gift. I'm going to be enjoying this. My team is going to be hosting a playoff game for the first time in forever. They choked the Titan game on Monday night, Buffalo week 18, and then they froze like I did on Simmons's couch watching the Chiefs go on to win yet another Super Bowl. I don't want to bring up that sensitive subject, but in the spirit of Wise Wednesdays and some futures we're going to make along the way, it's important to realize you're going to have some egg on your face from time to time. Why do I circle back on this? Buffalo has been the dominant team in this division. They've won it every year since 2020. The Jets, I have a lot of Jet fans in my life, Ben. I live in New York City. There's Rodgers, there's Tyron Smith, there's Mike Williams. They go and get a lineman out of Penn State. They get the Corley kid out of Western Kentucky. A lot of smart people. Football people are trying to convince me this is going to be the year for the Jets to not only get back to the postseason, but win a division. Am I taking crazy pills thinking it's the Jets, or is this a legitimate, reasonable goal for a franchise that has the longest playoff drought in professional sports?
Yeah, I'll say this. The Jets defense is the best unit in the division of all four defenses, all four offenses. I know the Dolphins offense is incredible, but the Jets defense is the best unit in the division. So if this division stays ugly, right, and the Dolphins offense is solved and the Bills can't recover from all the talent that they've lost, the Jets can win this division by just ugly game, 16-13, playing good defense and not messing up on offense. With Rodgers there, you expect that they're able to do that. Just avoid mistakes, throw the football away. No more turnovers, no more short fields, no more digging yourself into a hole you have to try to throw your way out of, all the ways they've lost games in the past. I am suspicious of the offense's ability to be really explosive, to win them high-scoring games. I know Rodgers is coming back. I'm not confident he's going to be even near 100%. Remember, he rushed back from the Achilles. And so I'm worried his mobility is going to be pretty dramatically limited. Nate Hackett is still the OC here, right? Put however you want on the football field. If Nate Hackett's calling the plays, I've got questions. So I have too much doubt for this offense to fully endorse and believe in the Jets' ability to win the division. With that said, that defense could carry them a long way. And they have so much talent, so well coached. And so if this division stays ugly, right, if Buffalo continues to regress a little bit, and if Miami, you know, stays solved on offense, then yeah, the Jets are alive. But you're going to be betting on a lot of very low scoring games. It's not going to feel good for you throughout the season. But then again, Dolphins felt good much of the season. How'd that end?
Still a sensitive subject. Buddy, it's always fun catching up. Favorite future post-draft? Is it that McCarthy offensive rookie of the year or no?
Yeah.
A little too much of a long shot.
McCarthy at 10-1 and Drake May at 15-1 were the first two tickets I got. If you're going to bet on offensive rookie of the year, bet on a quarterback who's going to get a lot of snaps. Puka Nacua set the receiving rookie record last year and lost it to CJ Stroud. This award goes to quarterbacks and quarterbacks earn it. And there's a lot of quarterbacks this year.
The outstanding Ben Stolak will come back and wrap up the first ever Wives Wednesdays here on FanDuel TV with some best bets. And you guys apparently are getting involved in the proceedings. We'll come right back. We're back here on FanDuel TV. It's Wise Wednesdays with John Jastrzemski, and we are going to give you a chance to be a part of the show every week. What do I mean by that? You send your pick for a Wednesday card, basketball, NHL playoffs, baseball, NFL futures bet, whatever bet you want to make going into a Wednesday, get me the bets by Tuesday night, wiseandupwednesdays@gmail.com, and the ones we like best will be a part of the show. I post it on all of my little social media platforms. I know there are 10 zillion of them. I understand. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a little fun with you, the audience, right out of the gate. All right, let's hear pick one.
Wednesday money line bets. I'm picking the Miami Heat because underdogs pay more money. I will be going with the LA Clippers because of Frankie Muniz's MTV Diary episode. And last but not least, I'm going to say Knicks in six because who doesn't love a rhyme?
Wow. Gutsy right out of the gate. Listen, I have no problem taking Miami plus the points to win outright. Seems crazy, no? I guess it is Eric Spoelstra, and I guess it is Miami and Boston. And I can't get on board with the Clippers. Dallas is better. That Dallas Clipper bet, that might be our first one. Heads up. Keep the tally. We'll have a little fun here on Wise Wednesdays. All right, we got another video. Let's hear.
This is Jovan from Poughkeepsie, and my best bet for Wednesday is Dallas Mavericks money line, Mavs in six.
It's like we had a meeting before the show where we exchanged notes and said, "Hey, what do you think of it tonight?" Oh no, what do you think of it tonight? Dallas in six. Yes, 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 and yes. I love that I got Dallas at a better number for the series. I have to be fair on that, but I look at this series as a chance now to gain even more of an opportunity to trust the most unlikely backcourt duo that I never saw having success. And sometimes you got to eat your words. We'll be doing that a lot here on Wise Wednesdays. All right, let's take one more.
Hi, I'm Peyton from Palm Springs, and I'm taking the Clippers at home, +3, book it.
And that's what's going to happen. You have a small point spread. You have a 2-2 series. I like a little disagreement, and I look forward to whooping all y'all over the next few weeks, few months. Forget about it. We have been so cold since the NCAA tournament. The good times is starting to percolate. It's spring in New York. The weather is beautiful. The Knicks are alive and well. My life is good. Wise Wednesdays. Audience, I love you, but you submit a video. Go heads up with yours truly. It's not going to be your Wednesday. On that note, this is the first of many installments here on FanDuel TV. We'll be back each and every week, 9 a.m. Eastern. JJ signing off. Be good, everybody.